current series is a thing called Fire. This is the fourth installment in that. If you've talked about fire before to your kids, you usually say something like, well, don't touch that, that's hot. And we get all kinds of reminders of fire during our life. 5 weeks of fire. So what will we say about fire today? Well, some thoughts. If you need a Bible, I can certainly get you one. Ben will hand you out a Bible. And raise your hand if you need a Bible today. I'm going to walk through the Bible reviewing some things and giving you some examples of some old simple things. But first, to introduce it, raise your hand high. Ben will come around with you. And Chris on this side, Ben, please. If you need a word of God coming at you, that'd be great. Raise your hand. All right. We've talked about how God uses fire for several things. Purification. He burns the fire off of it. Burns the impurities off of us with fire. Sometimes it's like you saying, well, I feel like I've been in the fire this week. Well, he puts a piece of something in our life. Apostle Paul said this. He said, I feel like I've been... three times I asked the Lord to take this thorn in the flesh. That's how he called it. And after praying three times to say, would you please remove this thorn in the flesh, or it'd be like putting me in the fire, what was God's answer? No. For in your weakness I am, what? You'll be made perfect. My strength will be shown in your weakness. So he said basically no. And some people think Paul was going blind. He said, well, see what large letters I'm writing. It'd be like us just finally losing our eyesight. God didn't answer Paul's prayer. We talked about Elijah. Elijah said, just let me die under this juniper tree. God didn't answer that prayer. He just took him on the heaven without dying. Right. And one more person, he didn't answer his prayer. It was a man. I don't know why I'm not. Why does the thought of Jesus bring a tear to my eye? He was in the garden saying, God, I don't want to die like this.
That's right.
And God said, you've got to pay for the sins of the world. And so his own son didn't get his prayer answered.
Right.
And so don't you dare get discouraged and say, God, where are you? I think a man who said, my God, am I myself forsaken, that he felt given up on me. He's the only one that God ever turned his back to say, I can't look at my own son because the sins of the world are on him. But he'll never turn his back on me.
Right.
So Apostle Paul didn't get my prayer answered. Elijah didn't get my prayer answered. And Jesus Christ himself didn't get his prayer answered. So don't feel like you're in a minority there. I think God's working in your life when he puts you in the fire. And remember, when does he finally take you out of the fire? When he looks and sees his reflection in you. About done. Just like you moms who bake bread. Yep. Just about done. God looks and goes. Nothing more like it. That's why I keep putting you in the fire. How many times has he put you in the fire lately? I think he just sets a timer for me sometimes and just walks off because he knows it's going to take a lot to burn this stuff off of him. He purifies us with fire. He protects us with fire. Remember, he led the Israelite children. He put a cloud in day, put a fire by night. When they got ready to cross, puts a fire there so Pharaoh's army couldn't get to him. And remember, the area, here's what he does to us. Once he burns those impurities off of us, he has burned that. He has captured that area of our heart. And where's the safest place to be in a fire area that's already burnt? So if God just burns it up with his Holy Spirit fire, Satan can't touch those areas. So the more I'm in love with Jesus, the less the devil can bother me.
Yeah.
And if the devil bothers you a lot, and I'm just going to preach at you, if I get that right since I'm the preacher, you must not be in love with God and on fire for God as much as you need to be. Or the devil couldn't be doing that. Remember what I said? Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man what? Opens the door.
Mm-hmm.
I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be cool if I come to your house and open up the door and go, oh, wow, Jesus said, yeah, and Jesus just hanging together. You want something to eat? And you're just sitting there. But remember, Satan also tempts us by, can I? And he can only bother you if you what? Open the door. And if you say, oh, come on in, don't you dare do that. Matter of fact, you bolt the door shut and put screws out and just, that door won't come open anymore. And Satan keeps saying, can I come in and tempt you? Can I come in? And he can only do what we allow him to do. See, Satan is sort of like the guy who we call it shadow boxing. You ever had a kid do this? You know, it's like, I can't hit you, but I can make you think that I'm. That's all Satan can do. Satan can't really bother you unless you yield to temptation. He says, take this, take, nope, nope, nope. And if you resist long enough, he walks off. But if we give in a little bit, he can't really touch us unless we let him do that. Let's not allow him to say, God, you send protection, put your angels. I pray that all the time. I say, Lord, put a hedge about me, put your,
yes.
put, Put me under the shadow of your almighty wing. Mm-hmm. Put that hedge up high, build it nice and tall. Don't let Satan get around me at all. Mm-hmm. And I pray that in the morning before he starts tempting me. You know, you don't put your seatbelt on after you land on the asphalt, do you? Let's go ahead and pray it before our feet ever hit the floor. Purification, protection, power. Man, if you just get filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll start, this is not me. How can I be doing this? That's because it's not you doing it. It's God working through you. And now finally this, it's maybe a sad note, but for those that do not accept Christ, there's a punishment at the end of time created for his devil and his angels. It's called hell. But it's a real place, and I have that truth to convey to you, and I wouldn't want to hold that back. We've talked about these things the last few weeks, so let me remind you of this then. The general theme is we're going to be consumed by something. And we sang a song earlier, Lord, let me be a soul on fire. Something is going to consume us. Do y'all agree with that? You just think I'm making it up. That's not just, something's going to have most of your life and your attention. You agree with that?
Yep, it is.
Something will. It's either good or bad. It's something's going to, but you can't be neutral. Something's going to consume us. May it be the world or God, I don't know. It's up to you, but the world is going to consume us. It's going to get the best of us, or God's going to get the best of us. Is it temporal? Because that's the world, or is it eternal? There's an old saying that says, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for God will last. When I stand before him, I'm glad Steph Curry can say, when he stands before Christ, I have a feeling he will say, I'm a child of yours. He will not say, I'm the MVP of the NBA. God could basically say, I care less. What have you done for me? And I believe if he's a child of God, and that's what his testimony says, then that's an eternal thing. Mm-hmm. You're now holding in your hands a Bible. Bible says this in Psalms. It says the word of God is, you know, sharper. It says in Hebrews the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll just cut right to you. So if God speaks to you today and say, how come he can do that? This book's alive. It is. Psalms tells you the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will abide forever. So you're now holding something in your hand that we can have in heaven. That ought to just grab your attention to read this thing this week. Consider this then. That's called a certain kind of flame. It's called an eternal flame. Now, God's true to the eternal flame. Does anybody know where this eternal flame is?
Yeah.
Keep going. I'm going to twerk. Maybe this will be a better view of it. Yeah, you can check out eternal flame, and it was lit in 1963 for a president named John Fitzgerald Kennedy. I still remember it was on a Friday when I was getting ready to... Somebody told me on a little transistor radio that the president had been killed. I said, y'all ought not to guess some joke like that. And they said, no, it's true. And I said, no, it can't be. I got home from school and realized it was the truth. And then for the next couple of days, you just heard all about John Fitzgerald Kennedy. When that horse went down there with the boots on backwards for the cavalry, and, you know, as a little kid, I'm just thinking, wow. Because I was only 9 years old. And I think, wow, that just really got my attention. And so they said out of respect, they wanted to put an eternal flame that would never go out. By the way, that plane has went out. Had a Catholic school visit the graveyard one time, the grave site. A little girl with holy water went and just touched the flame to say, I just want to, you know, honor God. She put the flame out, the holy water. And people like somebody instantly come out there, okay, the eternal flame's back on now. they did a little bit of construction there around that one site. And it used to be a grave right there in Arlington. It got somewhere around 65,000 people visited that in 1 month. They realized, we got to move this thing. So they relocated. It's now 9 acres by itself. They have so many visitors there. Wow. So this eternal flame that has went out on several times is just a reminder, though, that, like you said, now there is another flame that maybe all, I can remember John Fitzgerald Kennedy. I remember this flame. Now, this is supposed to be in Athens, Greece. Now, is that the same flame? It originates from Athens. It no longer has been burning forever, but they go to Athens where the games began. They take that flame, and then they'll take it to wherever the Olympics are that year. So, another picture, that's the high in the sky view, that flame that's been the Olympic, life of the Olympics. Or about this one, you know, you finally get to light it from there and take that. Now, say, okay, eternal flame, that's like the Holy Spirit that comes in. You know what? I'm seeing the spiritual connection. Good. If you needed a little bit of help, let me try this. That's me and you.
Yeah.
God is sort of like Greece, the origin of the flame. You do. You say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. He comes in when you're saved. Now, he can either really be burning bright, or he can be down there like on a moment that light of a cigarette lighter compared to that. And Holy Spirit, being the flame, can burn brighter, burn small. Mm-hmm. When we get saved, the flame comes to us. Mm-hmm. Can I say something that hopefully will sink in? You're never more saved or any less saved than the day you get saved.
Amen.
Why?
Amen.
You're never more saved or less saved than the day you get saved. You know, I just need to remind everybody of that, though, because you say, well, when I mess up, I don't feel very close to God. That flame's still burning. Okay. When you're backslidden from God, the flame's still burning. Mm-hmm. It's this, when you come into God and say, Lord, I confess my sin.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I like it. God, I just want to be what you want me to be. Mm-hmm. God, help me say no to Satan. Mm-hmm. Help me be a light for you. He's burning so bright, I can't even get in there. Salvation comes to us, the flame. So we get it from God. It can burn as bright. The Bible says you can quench the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that little girl walking, oh, I just want to put that out. Well, we can't put that flame out once it burns, but boy, we can sure keep it on the low level. Anybody ever seen an old lamp before?
Mm-hmm.
Old lamp, you turn that up, it'll blacken the glass. You turn it down like this, is it even on? I don't want anybody ever come up to me, are you even on for God? I'm told. Leave no doubt. The flame comes to us when we get saved. That's the Holy Spirit. It'd be a comparison. Last thing right there then. We carry the torch. Just like, that's an honor. They let Muhammad Ali go over and touch the flame and stuff like that. So he gets to carry the torch and he finally got to light. If you get to be a torch bearer for the Olympics, that's an honor. How long do you get to run? How far do you think? Sometimes it used to be a mile. It was a half a mile. Now it can be, if I would run from here to Crossroads Shell, they'd have somebody else take the... So if I get to run a quarter of a mile, what if God says, I'm going to let you run with my torch? Wouldn't that be cool? That's what he's told us to do, by the way. Here's your torch. Brian, here's the torch. What do we do? Take it up high. Run with it proudly. Get a strong shape. Matter of fact, try to light some more torches on the way. Wouldn't that be cool? So we get to carry the torch. It's up to you. All right. Time to look in the Bible. Here we go. Some scripture. Fighting fire in the scriptures. Let's look at this first person right here. Let's look at these first few verses. Question, how is the Holy Spirit like a fire? Then? How can it burn in me? And I didn't know anything else but just to put my notes up for you. The Bible describes God as a consuming fire, so it is not surprising that fire often appears as a symbol of God's presence. Examples include the burning bush, Shekinah glory, that's the fire that comes down from heaven that you just can't miss, and Ezekiel's vision. Fire has been as many times an instrument of God's judgment and a sign of his power, like in 1 Kings 18 when Elijah, we talked about last week, he just burned up that offering. For obvious reasons, fire was important for the Old Testament. Fire on the altar of burnt offering was a divine gift. Having been lit originally by God himself, God charged the priest with keeping his fire lit. Again, it's sort of like you. And made it clear that fire from any other source was unacceptable. One time people tried to get fire from another source and light God's altar and he killed them. So can I apply that rule to my life? I don't want anything to burn and catch the passion that belongs to God Almighty. Okay? I don't want to just say, I mean, if somebody ever interviewed me after a game and we had just won the NBA, it's like, what is your passion? Jesus Christ is my passion. Basketball is a hobby. Mm-hmm. I would hate to say that the other way. You know, what if somebody said, came up to me and, Edgar, who's the most important person in your life? Well, it's tough. I love my wife, Jenny. My son, Andy, is, you know, step in front of a bullet for him. Well, who else? Well, and then I go extended family and you go from there. But wouldn't it be odd if somebody said, Edgar, who's the most important person? Oh yeah, God, how much? Jesus is down here for? You better not do that. Jesus Christ, he's the most important. We're gonna laugh at you, I don't care. Media hates you, hate me away. Mm-hmm. When his opinion means more than what everybody else's opinion means, you're finally starting to get that fire idea. Mm-hmm. He didn't want anybody to get any more power from anybody else. He wanted the fire to come. If it's unacceptable to him, he will burn it away because he wants that place in your heart. In the New Testament, the altar can serve as a picture of commitment. That's us. We're called upon to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That's the least we can do. Engulfed by the divine gift, the inextinguishable fire of the Holy Spirit. At the very beginning of the New Testament, the Holy Spirit's associated with fire. Remember, John the Baptist predicts that Jesus will be the one to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When the Holy Spirit began his ministry of indwelling the early church, he chose to appear as tongues of fire there in Acts, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, next. How about this one? Fire is a wonderful picture of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's like a fire in three ways: God's presence, God's passion, God's purity. So it just, fire reminds me of God himself. The fiery presence provides light and guidance. In the New Testament, God guides and comforts his children with the Holy Spirit dwelling in their bodies, the tabernacle. Now, in the Old Testament, they had a tabernacle. We are the tabernacle now. What did he put above the tabernacle as the Hebrew people were traveling? Fire. And he, I'm the tabernacle now, you're the tabernacle, God lives within us, the fire comes above us, he protects us. The Holy Spirit creates the passion of God in our hearts. After the two traveling disciples talked with the resurrected Jesus, they said, it's just a fire burning within us. And the Holy Spirit produces the purity of God in our lives. God's purpose is to purify us. The Spirit is our agent of sanctification. As the silversmith uses fire to purge it, God wants to see his picture in us. All right. We'd have you to turn to the Old Testament. God called Moses using the fire. Would you look at Exodus chapter 3? I just want to give you a picture. You say, I have heard this so many times before. I just want to run through a couple things. Exodus chapter 3. He's about to be called. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. Nick, would you read that one for me? God got his attention by the burning bush, but Moses says, I will what?
Go over.
God's calling you today. Burning bush, same example here. It's like the Holy Spirit, burning bush there, says, would you come to me? And Moses says, okay. And he came over to him. So God calls Moses. He's just like he's calling us today, but it's really your choice. What if Moses said, burning bush? Oh, well, he goes on home. I don't think God would have spoke to him. God says, I need your attention. I've got it. Good. Now I need you to come over here. Moses says, okay. So he goes and he sits down. He starts to walk, and what does God say? Hold it. Take off your shoes, for the ground you're walking is what? Hold it. Not even that half inch of leather or inch of leather. Yeah, that made a difference. Take off your shoes. I don't need your impurities. Get close to me. You are now walking on holy ground. So God called Moses, just like he calls us. Second thing, God commits himself to us as we commit ourselves to him. That is, he starts a fire within us. I'm going to look up 1 Corinthians. I know I'm having to jump around a little bit. Read this. Just listen to this, if you would. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says this. And that is what some of... Let me read from verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and read verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers will inherit the kingdom of God. I say, wow. Who's going to get to go to heaven? Keep reading. There's good news waiting for you. And that is what some of you were. Oh. So if I was one of those people that now have accepted Christ, I don't have to endure the punishment of hell? No.
Right.
We're free from hell. And don't feel like, was it okay to... Can I know God forgives me? Sure. Good. Look what Paul said. He sat there and talked to the Corinthians. He said, neither this nor this. And he just kept going down a list. And then he said, and such were some of you. Were some of you. Now keep reading. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's what you used to be. But now that you're forgiven, Christ has committed himself to you since you've committed yourself to him. So I go over to the fire. God gets my attention. I kneel before him. And I show my attention. I give my affection. I say, God, I want you to speak to him. He speaks to me. I commit myself to him. He commits himself to me. The next says, okay, girl, I'm glad you've come home. I'm glad you're where you need to be. I've got to work on your heart. Would you look at Romans chapter 8? He says, I've got to work on your heart. You think, well, God, I thought I was in pretty good shape. Yeah, you think that. So like finding a piece of driftwood. God says, man, that wood looks beautiful. Look at this. And I'm standing beside him going, I don't see anything. God sees it, what it will be. See, he sees me on the day I get saved. He sees me what I will be. And he says, I'm going to have to start working on you to get you to what you need to be. Max Lucado says it this way. He said, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way.
Amen.
So let's work on you. In Romans chapter 8, I can start reading. I said verse 5. Let me get the first four verses. Therefore, if you say, boy, I used to be an adulterer, a drunkard. I used to be those people. I know. But what if you ask Christ to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins? You are saved? Yes. And so chapter 8 of Romans, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by our sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Look at verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on the nature that desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Verse 9 says, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, that the Spirit of God lives in you. Keep reading these last few verses. Really important. Verse 10. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Verse 10. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of your sin, yet your spirit is alive because of the righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit that lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You know, I wish I could shake the hands of the pastor at the Charleston Church, because he invited a stranger in this past week in their Bible study on Wednesday night. Stranger comes in, sits down with him, and hears the Word of God for about an hour. Prays with him for about an hour. Then he gets up and shoots and kills 9 of them. And here's how you, if you're controlled by the Spirit, here's how you react to that. You don't riot. You don't loot. You forgive. And guess what those guys did? They forgave him. I just couldn't believe that. 3 of them posted on Facebook that they copied those things that say, before the 21-year-old was caught, one of them said, I forgive him because I was in his trouble. And I forgive him of this, and I just pray you'll find Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a reaction. Yeah. To violence. You think that man's controlled by the Spirit? Absolutely. He didn't say, boy, I hope they find him in the string. Get him what he get. He didn't say that at all. He said, I feel sorry for him. I pray that he would find Jesus. And he says, if he's got a phone on him right now and sees his text, I just want him to know that I forgive him. He shot and killed somebody in the room with him. You forgive him? Matter of fact, the man who put that post had been shot himself. He just wasn't killed. So what's our excuse? I don't like so-and-so because he's mad at me. What about somebody trying to shoot to kill you and you forgive him? Does that remind you of anybody in the Bible? How about Stephen who dropped to his knees when he's being stoned to death and says, Father, forgive him. Into your hands I commit my spirit. What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them for they know not what they did. When you're controlled by the Spirit, God purifies us, that he burns off impurities and fills us with a burning desire to love and serve him. I think some people in Charleston should set an example. Wow, they do. So let's see. God's got my attention. He commits himself to me. He starts to burn off the things, and I don't want to go down our list of things that need to be burned off. You've got a list different than mine. Some of us need to let loose things. Isaiah 6, 1 through 7 says this. I'm just telling you, Isaiah stands before God, and this is Isaiah. This is a major prophet in the Bible, and he looks and says, I'm undone. He says, I saw a vision of God, and just to think of him, he's just like, I'm overcome. I'm too simple to stand before you. And in this vision he had, it says an angel picked up a tongue, took a coal from the fire, come over and touched his lips. It was like a vision, not literal coal, but he says, he touched my lips to make me clean. So that would be like, Holy Spirit, would you forgive me of all my sins? We're washed wonderfully clean. Number four, after we've been with Jesus, it shows in our lives, and others can tell that we have been with Jesus. Exodus. Go back to that. Who was the man called by the burning bush? Moses was called. When he was first called, he said, oh God, I can't do this. And God says, yes, you can. Well, I can't really do this. And here's what I love this. He did not keep saying, Moses, you're a wonderful speaker. He kept bragging on himself. God says, he came over. Moses, yes, sir. Here's what I want you to do. Go and show my power. He started talking about God. God's God. He never said, Moses, you're a great leader. You're a wonderful man. You're handsome. You know, anything. He didn't say any of that. He said, Moses, you're the servant. You're the vessel of all. And he's called me to do something. He called me to plant a church. He called me just to be the best Christian I could be. Have I ever had to stand up when it wasn't easy? Have I ever not stood up when I should have? Most likely have done that too in my life. But he spoke to Moses and he said, Moses, here's what I want you to do. And Moses began to make some excuses. He said, I can't speak very clearly. And God says, who made your voice? Well, you did. Mm-hmm. Why don't you think he can speak? Well, Lord, you're making excuses. Mm-hmm. Well, if somebody could just speak for me. Take Aaron, your brother. He can be your mouthpiece, but you better go because I've chosen you. God quit talking to him. He said, God sort of got on him. Yeah. That gets on us. So he took Aaron, by the way, he did most of the speaking all the time when he had one before Pharaoh. He did. Aaron was there. Moses started getting closer to God. And then he would go and he'd pray by himself sometimes while these people were there. He would say, God, and they just took turns. God get mad at him one day, Moses get mad at him the next day. Y'all remember the story of this? It's like, God Almighty, what am I going to do with these people that you've given me? Well, you could be a good leader. And Moses would say, man, I just tell you, we should just burn them up. And God says, no, I can't do that. Next day, God says, get out of the way, Moses. I'm going to burn them up. No, don't do that. Because if you burn them up, we won't reach your promised land. And people will make fun of us. Will you forgive them one more time? Matter of fact, block my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life if you burn them up. I'd rather you kill me than kill them. You're starting to be more like me, God says. And so much so that when God would have Moses come talk to him, here's what would happen in chapter 30. Exodus chapter 34, verse 39. Let me start reading verse 29. When Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Tell me what his face was?
Radiant.
Why? Because he had spoken with God. He didn't even realize his face was shining. And when Aaron and all the Israelites come up to see Moses, they said, Moses, woo! They dropped back and he probably thought, what's wrong? The Israelites saw him. They saw Moses. It says his face was radiant and that they were afraid to come near him. Why was Moses afraid to come near the burning bush? Because he represented God. Aaron and him were afraid to come near. Aaron's afraid to come to his own brother because he represents God. But Moses called them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him and he gave them all commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak to him, he removed the veil until he came out. Every time Moses met with God, his face shined. I just take that as this. I hope and pray that people can see the difference in me because I've spent time with God.
Yeah.
You know, and they come up and say, what are you doing? People of Charleston, how can you forgive a man? I've spent time with God. Peter, how can you spend time with God?
on earth can you spend time with God most of all? So you have to spend time with him to overcome things, to move on through things, to get through things. You have to spend time with him. By the way, some of us who are spiritual and people see it, Moses put the veil on. I think sometimes people today might sort of have the veil on because the face is not shining. Maybe sort of pretend to be a religious notion. Mm-hmm. Oh, look. So-and-so's got his face covered. He must have been with God. He was sort of putting on a hat. Not that anybody would ever put on a hat and sort of be religious. Wait until the true colors come out.
Mm-hmm.
I've sat down with people before and everything's fine, and then a few minutes later, here comes the words, here comes the anger. Oh, that's the word right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number five, last one, we can't help but share what God's done with us.
That's right.
If God's fire within you, these two disciples in Luke chapter 24, let me tell you what they could no longer do. Luke chapter 24, would you look at the last two verses? I'll close with that. So if you come close to a burning bush, compare that to God. God spoke to you. You commit yourself to him. He speaks. He commits himself to you. He starts purifying you. Others will start seeing the difference in you. And finally this. This is what will happen if you stay quiet. If you stay quiet, Luke chapter 24. These disciples said this. Having this fire burning within them, they had no choice but to do this. Look at chapter 24, verse 30. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he, that is Jesus, talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it's true, the Lord is risen. He's appeared to Simon, and then the two told what had happened on their way and how Jesus had was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So in other words, it says, didn't a fire burn within us? Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, the last verse. Old Testament. Compare that to this. The disciples said that they could no longer be quiet. If you point a gun at them and said, you cannot tell what's going on in your lives. They said, a fire is burning within us. It would be like kids having what do they want to tell you and say, would you make sure you keep this to yourself? What would that be called? A secret. Can you keep this to yourself? Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. I'll close with this one. What a powerful verse. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. But if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a what? Burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I can't hold it. I've got to tell somebody what he's done for me. Or I just will not be able to make it. These disciples said, didn't a fire burn within us? You ever seen kids that they're just dying to tell you a secret? And on Monday when I walk into school, if somebody hadn't seen somebody over the weekend, they go, oh man, let me tell you what happened yesterday. And if I said, you need to sit right down and be quiet. One of the toughest days of the year, and finally I just give up. And they make this book at the end of the year. It's called an annual. Remember getting your yearbooks?
Yes.
They have learned out of Salem. They make you come back and get it in the evening. Because you know what they used to do? Let me hand your yearbook out at 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't want y'all looking at it. I don't want y'all talking to each other about it. As soon as I get it, hey, look at this. Try to teach with that. Try to teach with 30 yearbooks in the room there. Look at this. Oh, look at that. And they're just, whole room's on fire. They can't be quiet. Day before Christmas, try to teach on that day. Day before any time they get out. Last day of school. Welcome to the world of his disciples. We can't be quiet. It's like yearbook day to us. So they went back into Jerusalem and started telling what he had done. Show this next slide, please.
decision time for you. God is sort of like a burning bush, it still speaks. If I got your attention, you say, okay, I made it that far on the list. I'm speaking to your heart. So you come over and say, God, you're offering me an invitation. I need to really accept you and commit myself. You commit to me, I'm going to commit myself to you. You say, oh, sounds like confusing. No, no. Some people say that they're gods and they're not. He says, if you truly trust in me, then I'll commit myself to you. Mm-hmm. And then once I commit myself to you, I'll start purifying you. And then I'll start making you just, you can't help but tell the world what the change is. So I'd say a simple prayer. Maybe you would say, Lord, I bring to you my burdens. You know my situation. You know I can't make it without you. Comfort my heart, give me strength. Let me carry on. Lord, I'm yours today. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, this is a simple prayer in front of us, but Lord Jesus, today you're like a burning bush. You're still speaking. You're speaking to hearts right now, and Lord, in this short method that I've tried to just show them, we're sort of like Moses. Now you've got our attention, and we approach that bush ever so slowly because we don't know what this is going to be. And then you'll even speak to us and say, you told Moses, stop. The ground where you're standing is holy. Take off your shoes. And that's your way of telling God, stop. You can't approach me unless I forgive you of your sins. And I'll forgive you if you ask me to. And some people stop at that and they walk away and they never want anything to do with Jesus. And others will say, Jesus, okay, it's a deal. Would you forgive me of all my sins? I commit myself to you. And as soon as we do that, you commit yourself to us. And then you place a flame within us. And it's an eternal flame. It won't be doused by rain. It won't ever go out. It burns bright in some people. So bright you can see it. And others, it's dim. Lord, some people... it's been a while since that flame's been turned up. I ask you to speak to hearts right now. May that flame burn brighter. I pray that you would just restore the joy that's in hearts that are broken sometimes because of so much of the fire that they've been through. Help them to see that, Jesus, you're going to get good out of that. Joseph even said, God, the world meant in the harm. My brothers meant in the harm, but you meant it in the good. And finally, good came out of it. So, Jesus, today, make good things come out of the fire that you put us through. Maybe even in Charleston, you had to put people through this, but maybe that young man will become a Christian and be saved and have his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of the testimony of those people he sat around for the hour before he opened fire on. Lord, you work in strange and mysterious ways. I don't know what you do things the way you act, but that's because your ways are not mine. Your thoughts are not mine. You're way above me. I'm glad I serve a God that I can't even explain sometimes because you're so powerful. If I could explain you away, you wouldn't be much of a God, but you're all powerful. You're omnipotent, you're mighty, all knowing. And now, Jesus, you lower yourself to us to say, I want you to be one of my children. You sent your own son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us, and Jesus became one of us so that we could become like you. So, Lord Jesus, today, like that burning bush, you're speaking. As we approach you and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, you'll come into our heart, you'll start that flame, it'll burn brighter, and I pray that you'll be shining so much that the world will say, what are you doing? What's the difference in you? And Lord, maybe even be like the disciples. We won't be able to be quiet from them. Our lives will be changed. We can't help but want to share what you've been doing in our hearts. Thank you for the fire that burns within us.